Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. What a blessing it has been already just being in the house of the Lord. And I trust you've been encouraged and blessed by all the music here today. If you have your Bibles with you now, if you'd look with me to the book of Isaiah and chapter 9, the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 7. A very familiar passage of scripture and prophecy, especially when you get around this time of the year, Christmas time. And looking to see what God has given to us through the prophet Isaiah. And so if you would stand with us, we'll read verse 1 down to verse 7 this morning. Isaiah chapter 9. As I read, you follow right along with me. In verse 1, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously affect her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. The joy before thee according to the joy in the harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, we thank you for the privilege it is to be in church. Thank you for what we've already received here this morning. But now, Father, as we look into this passage of Scripture, I pray, God, that each and every one of us here would have an open mind, an open heart to what you have for us. And I pray that you would empower the preaching of thy word. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Can I say this morning, I want to praise God for the prophets of the Old Testament. The prophets of the Old Testament. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God." Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They spake and they wrote, and God inspired them, and God preserved it for us today. These were those that were sold out to God and spoke and allowed God to speak through them. They presented truth as they were inspired, not always knowing the full impact that it would have. Isaiah would not fully understand the New Testament. He would not fully understand that what he actually spoke and was preserved would be the beginning of the New Testament church age, would be the beginning of Christ's church that would lead to, first of all, his sacrifice on Calvary's cross. He would not understand the full impact. Isaiah, as we studied here in Bible times, Isaiah was addressing the Assyria invasion. He was addressing the fact that Israel was going to go into captivity. He tried to warn them of the captivity, but we find here he presents something of hope for them. Verse 6 and 7, God reveals the future hope of not only Israel, but of all mankind. And we have it preserved for us to understand that God knew what he was going to do way before he did it. in sending his only begotten son to this earth to pay a sin debt that we owed and couldn't pay. This would be the prophecy of the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And he would be called, in verse 6, Wonderful, Counselor. He would be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of his government, of his rule, there would be no end. Wow. See, this is, if you will, the prophecy that God has brought to us today through the prophet Isaiah, and understanding that the Old Testament was in preparation for the ultimate, and that is this New Testament church age. It was in preparation for humanity to believe in and understand the Savior of the world, a Messiah, the need of a Savior, and that God would send the Savior, the Messiah, to pay a sin debt that we owed and couldn't pay. This would be the prophecy of the doctrine of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Verse 6 and 7, it is presenting to us this fact that unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. The humanity in a child, and if you will, the deity in a son. There's many today that will not believe in a virgin birth. They cannot understand. This is beyond humanity. This is beyond human understanding. This is something that was divine. They will not believe in a virgin birth, but they cannot deny the fact that the Bible teaches it. And if we believe this Bible to be the words of God, then we have to believe what the Bible teaches. And this is the teaching of the doctrine of a virgin birth. You can't deny it. Isaiah would have already spoken, chapter 7 and verse 14, and he says this, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That name Emmanuel defines God with us. So God with us is who Jesus would be. There in the New Testament, as we find, this is the beginning of the New Testament, the Gospels that present to us the life of Jesus Christ, the first four books in the New Testament. In the book of Matthew in chapter 1, the very first book of the New Testament that we have, in verse 20, the Bible says this, as the angel was speaking to Joseph, who was espoused to Mary, the Bible says, But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled. We have to have that which was prophesied, first of all, and then we find the fulfillment of prophecy. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. The word Jesus is interpreted to mean Savior. God with us. You see, the virgin birth. Jesus existed before his birth occurred. The gift had to exist before it could be given. He prophesied that unto us a child is born. Humanity of the Messiah, the Savior. And unto us a son is given, the 100% deity of an almighty God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The same God, the Son, who created all things. The Bible tells us in the book of John, in describing the life of Christ, reveals that all things were created by Him. All things were created by Him. He existed before He was given as a gift. This is Almighty God. Now think about this. It blows my mind. I think it ought to blow your mind as well. But the very same God that created the heavens and the earth, that created all things, that spoke the worlds into existence, has now come in a seed planted in the womb of a Virgin Mary. God in His infinity, in His greatness, was planted in a seed in the womb of Mary. Wow. The one and only time in eternity past and eternity future that this would ever happen. Now, Satan tried to take advantage and use this in the religious beliefs of the gods, the pagan gods, and they would have man believe that these gods would have relations with men, and they would have these children that would be part God and part man, and all this to confuse humanity. But the reality of it is, this happened one time. He was the only begotten. That means one of a kind. Don't let Satan confuse you into thinking this could have happened before. It's never happened. In eternity past or eternity future, this was the only time that a virgin gave birth to an almighty Son of God. He was 100% man in that He was a child born, but He was 100% God as He was a gift given. Yeah, the Son was given. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The doctrine of the virgin birth. And with this doctrine of the virgin birth, can I tell you, this prophecy ought to give all believers encouragement. This morning, as we stop and think about this, God became man. That ought to be an encouragement to us. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, it tells us why it ought to be an encouragement to us. This is something that it ought to. If you don't let Satan blind you to it, this ought to give encouragement to every born-again believer who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Bible says in Hebrews in chapter 4, and verse 14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest, again, relating back to the position of the high priest in the Old Testament, helps us to have a better appreciation for Jesus coming. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, we have this. Let us hold fast our profession. Hold on to the fact that we believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, that He was God manifested in the flesh. For we have not an high priest. If you believe that, you hold on to that, we understand we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. No matter what you're feeling, no matter what's taking place in your life, Jesus Christ can identify with you. And you can identify with Him. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And because of that, He says, let us all born-again believers, all who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, let us, therefore, understanding this, believe that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, lived a sinless life. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. Presence of God in any and every situation that life would bring our way. We can find grace to help in time of need. You see, our faith does not point us to a statue. Our faith does not point us to an image to bow down to and depend upon. Our faith is not dependent upon a government, a human government. It points us to a Savior. A Savior who is not so heavenly that he cannot understand the earthly. No matter what you're facing this morning, no matter what you go through in life, if your faith is in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, and you're looking to him as an example to look to follow after, as you are following after him, no matter what comes your way, no matter what you have to face in this life, you have and ought to be encouraged by grace to help. His presence and to understand. His presence to relate to and be there for you in whatever our need. You know, in life, most who are successful in any career that have given their life to that often are ignorant in many other areas of life. You can't hardly ask a brain surgeon how to plumb a sink. Because he gave his life to learning how to perform brain surgery. How would he be able to relate to you that needs a plumber? You can't ask a professional athlete. Most athletes who make it to the professional level have devoted their entire life, no matter what the sport. If they make it to the professional level, they have been raised with nothing else on their minds but that way of life, with that sport. You can't ask a professional athlete how to work on a car because they couldn't relate to that. Most of you remember one of our very first youth pastor here at the church, Brother Merv McNair, and very energetic. I mean, just this guy just had the zeal. Now, he had a zeal of the Lord, and he'd go 100 miles an hour. He might be going 100 miles in the wrong direction sometimes, but he had a zeal. But he was an athlete. In his early years, he thought he would be going into pro basketball, and that's all he did. He got scholarships to wherever he would go. In his school, he was the number one basketball player in his high school and all the different things, and then he got saved. When he got saved, then he realized that God had a different plan for his life. And most of the adults here who were in his youth department have heard his testimony many times where, you know, he went out hiking just to find God's will for his life, and he led him to a Bible college, and there in a Bible college he got somewhat of an education. He met my niece, Dawn, which led him back to this church. And now this is a man that's wanting to serve God, and he has a zeal, but everything that he has looked at in his life, everything that was made up for who he was at that point was basketball. Now, he used that skill in basketball to reach a lot of teenagers. I mean, he developed the youth department of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, and he brought in all of these athletic boys. And when you bring a lot of these athletic boys, you know what follows them? Girls. And so God used that, and he was able to bring in and establish a dynamic youth department during the years that he was here for 10 years. And there's many those of you in this auditorium right now that are in church today because you were discipled underneath Brother Merv, and he turned his life around. But on the other hand, on the other aspect of that, he had no clue as to other areas of life. We had a bus, so we just put a lot of money into, put a brand new engine in. He took it to camp, and he never thought about checking the oil, not one time. And on the way back, the red light come on, the red light that indicates oil problem, oil pressure. He thought, I'll wait and get it back to church, and we'll check it out. I'll let somebody that knows about it. And so on the way back from camp, with the red light going, and the engine heating up, it blew up. He had no clue. And I'm thinking, how do you not have a clue when the red light warning light comes on? How do you keep driving the bus? And he did this not once, but that time it locked up the engine. Another time it was the hot water. And I was constantly having to deal with him because of his lack of knowledge in all these other areas of life. Because he didn't think about any of that. He was focused on basketball until he got saved, and then he stayed focused on building a youth department, which, praise the Lord for that, but don't look to him for anything else. There's a lot of people like that today. Dedicate their life to certain areas, and whenever you need some help, you go to them for in that area of their expertise, but don't expect to ask anything else from them. Can I tell you that Jesus experienced 100% humanity? But he experienced 100% humanity as being 100% God. Being 100% God, he was omniscient. He has all knowledge. And he was omnipotent. He has all power. That's someone you can look to no matter what your needs. He was planted. Almighty God was a seed in the womb of Mary. He gave birth. He understands all of that. He was raised as a toddler. He was raised as a teenager. He was raised in a young adulthood. He was raised to experience everything that Satan had to work against him, so that he would be able to identify with and relate to humanity. And when you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior, you have a hotline. You have a communication line open to a God who's been where you're at and has the knowledge and the help that we need. We ought to be encouraged by the doctrine of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. The Bible gives us some illustrations of this that can help us as well. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. In training his disciples, They faced things in life that they would have to deal with. They faced financial issues in that they had to render under Caesar that which belonged to Caesar. They had to pay taxes. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 27, Jesus said, notwithstanding, speaking to Peter, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take and give unto them for me and thee. He faced the need of a financial need of a man. And he provided as God. Now, don't be going fishing looking for money to pay your taxes. Now, that's not what that, but that is helping us to see that God experienced some of the very same financial needs that we have. And that in his divinity, he can lead us to be able to meet those needs. God can open doors that we don't even know exist. Peter had no idea that he could get the money from catching a fish, which was his livelihood. He had never caught a fish before that had money inside. I guarantee you that. But Jesus wanted him to understand that even though you have and we have this need in this world, you can have a God to look to who can open doors and do things that you can't do yourself. Look to him for whatever needs you have and be willing to do all that God would have you to do. And as you do all that God would have you to do in obedience to him, God can take care of you. Yeah. In his humanity, he faced needs. In his deity, he met those needs. Amen. Luke chapter 8. We'll close with this, but I want to share this with you. Luke in chapter 8. Jesus in his humanity, his body, just like yours and mine, it had needs. In his humanity, he had a need to rest no matter what was taking place. In the peace that he had, he could rest in the middle of a storm. In Luke in chapter 8, look at verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over into the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. Now, can I tell you that as God, God never sleeps. There's no night in heaven. There's no need to have to rest in heaven. Amen. But in his humanity, his physical need was just like yours. He had the need to provide nutrients for his body. He had a need to rest in his physical body. And the Bible is revealing that. And so it says, but as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Satan was attacking the ship, and he was attacking the disciples. If he could get them to drown, what a victory he would have. They were facing some life-threatening situations. And they came to him and awoke him and saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? You see, in the middle of a storm, no matter what the storm, Jesus has been there. He knows what you're feeling. And He might be asking you, where's your faith? As a man, He identified with you. As a man, He came. That was part of it. And we can be encouraged by that. And we can be helped by that because we know that He can relate. He's God. Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered. They wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? Because even though He was 100% man, He was also 100% God. For He commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey Him. Jesus, as a man, had limitations. He slept. But as God, He was able to calm the storms. Yeah. He's able to calm your storm. He's able to give you a peace. He's able to comfort you. Let me just read to you the book of Romans in chapter 1 and what Paul writes concerning him. In conclusion, chapter 1, verse 1 says this: Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated into the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. God, the prophets of the Old Testament, they're so good. They're so rich to learn from their prophecies that impact our lives today. It just didn't happen. God prophesied it. It gives us confidence in knowing that God is real. His prophecies have been fulfilled. They have come to pass. Concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, unto us a child is born, by whom we have received grace. Or wait a minute, verse 4 says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Yeah. A son is given. The prophets told of His coming. He came made of the seed of David, but He was declared to be the Son of God. Prophecy's been fulfilled. Jesus is the Savior of all mankind. The only thing is needs to be done now by mankind is to believe and to receive Him as their personal Savior. I don't understand why anybody would not want to. I don't understand how anybody could deny the truth of prophecy and the fulfillment of prophecy. If you're here this morning and you've never believed and you've never received Jesus Christ, Satan's got a stronghold in you. He's blinding you to the most important decision you'll ever make. Let God take the blinders off today. Come to this altar. Bow before an almighty God. Believe in who Jesus is and call upon Him to be your Savior before it's eternally too late. Will you do that today? You have opportunity. Will you do that today? If I could ever have every head bowed and every eye closed. Unto us, a child is born, humanity of Jesus Christ. And unto us a son is given. The deity that can save our souls. Father, we bow before you now. We love you, Lord. Thank you for the truth of your prophecy and the fulfillment of that. Thank you for all that have assembled here today and have heard the message that you have presented to them through the preaching of thy word. And I pray for each one here now, especially for those that do not know you as their personal Lord and Savior. God, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for those individuals. For those that are saved that possibly are not living as they ought to, I pray, God, that you would bring a conviction in their lives and they would come and maybe rededicate a life to you. Whatever the need, I pray, God, that you'd work in our midst today and bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name, I pray.